Thank you for joining us here at Celebration Church, where we celebrate God, celebrate people, and celebrate life. We hope you enjoy today's message.
I'm blessed to bring us around the Word of God this morning. I hope you are prepared to hear something new from Him. Whether I say anything new or not is irrelevant. That you would hear something that the Holy Spirit has for your 2024. So you're probably going to need a notepad to write some things down that He says to you. You're probably going to need a Bible to make sure that you engage with the Word of God. I encourage you, don't make 2024 an observation competition where you're just trying to observe what God is doing, observe what someone is saying, observe the worship team, but engage. God is not going to transform you from 10 feet back. You draw closer to Him, you hear Him more accurately, and it transforms you quicker. So draw close to Him this morning. If you got your Bible, turn with me to Luke 8. If you don't, it's going to appear on the screen. When you got it, you're allowed to say, got it, to prove that you know how to get it. Everyone say, get it. Fantastic. Luke 8, verse 18 in the NIV says this: no one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. That's how you start a house fire. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. In the Gospel of Luke here, we have a very important truth that hidden things will soon be seen. And what you actually have are the things that you hide away, not the things you show off to everyone. The truth here in verse 17, for there is nothing hidden that will not be concealed. Nothing hidden that will not be disclosed. Nothing concealed that what will not be known and brought out to the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has. Even the person that's like, this is how good I am, this is everything that's happening, this is how amazing everything is. The things you think you have, that you're just very good at saying the right thing or doing the right thing or going through the motions, what you think you have will be taken away from you. There's a very important truth in the kingdom of making sure you hide the right stuff and expose the right stuff. And our world, we are good at hiding some things and we're good at exposing some things. And we'll get into that in a moment. But I want us to go back to Matthew 5, which we read last Sunday, as Pastor Benaiah really outlined an important foundation when it comes to prayer and fasting. And if you missed that, check that out. And if you want some more scientific Dr. Pastor Benaiah, please head to January last year where he gave you some scientific facts on the podcast. Matthew 4, verse 1 in the New American Standard Bible. Why the New American Standard Bible? Because it's accurate. It says this: then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Some translations say tempter, because the tempter tempts. And after he had fasted for 40 days, after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, and then we read this story, this account that Matthew gives us, that we have to believe that Jesus experienced and then told to his disciples, because obviously Matthew isn't there unless Matthew is the devil, which I don't think he is. So this account Jesus experiences and then tells his disciples, and then it goes through these things that the devil is tempting, the tempter is tempting Jesus about. But for context, we've got Matthew. Matthew 1 starts with a genealogy going back to David, and then it talks about the immaculate conception and birth of Jesus. And then in chapter 2, the Magi are introduced and the story unfolds a little bit. And then it leads to Mary, Joseph, and Jesus planting themselves to fulfill a prophecy from Isaiah at the end of chapter 2. And then Jesus is 30. Then verse 1 of Matthew 3 is Jesus at 30 going to hang out with John the Baptist and be baptized to fulfill more scripture. End of verse 2 is, let's fulfill the scripture that he has to be born in this place and live in this place, and then everything else is irrelevant until he's 30 in Matthew. Is anyone interested in a little bit more of the origin story of the Messiah, the Savior of the world? Because in Matthew's depiction of the gospel, he says nothing. He doesn't even hint at 12, he was a bit of a teenager, and run off to the house of the Lord. He doesn't go into Islamic proverbs of Jesus where he brings crows back to life as a 4- and 5-year-old. Matthew gives nothing. Nothing. Not his first, he went to school and all of the women loved him, which fulfilled that he has an unconditional love that is nothing. Nothing. He did his chores. Nothing. He fulfilled his apprenticeship as a carpenter. Nothing. He made the best chairs you could ever imagine. No secret miracles. No podcast he did about some ideas that he had which were completely unproven. No book that he wrote. Nothing. 30 years, maybe 27, 28, depending on how long you think it took the wise men to get to Jesus and the traveling and what happened. And there's actually there's a part of chapter 2 that is entitled in the NIV, Herod Murders Babies. Whoa, it's so intense. Just, that's a side note. I just think that's a very intense title, the NIV, just to chuck out there. Actually, I think NIV says Herod Slaughters Babies, right? Has anyone got an NIV there? I do. No, it doesn't. Oh, well. So, we pick up in chapter 3. It's in Luke. We pick up in chapter 3, Jesus at 30. And then he gets baptized. This moment happens, Matthew depicts, this moment of God saying, "This is my son and I am pleased." Pleased about what? That he got baptized? Really? Is that all it takes? What is God pleased about? I dare tell you, we don't know, because Matthew excluded all of it. He excluded all the working out his salvation with fear and trembling. He excluded all the moments where he would have read Isaiah and be like, "Oh my gosh, this is talking about me. I am God." That's a moment that human Jesus experiences. It's gone. It's not seen. It's not on his social media. And this moment happens where he's faithful and he fulfills scripture again and he gets baptized. This is the right thing for me to do. This is an obedience issue. And then he goes into the wilderness and fasts. This story is so backwards. Matthew wrote this wrong. Tell you how to write a story? This is how you write a story. Immaculate conception. Someone gets bitten by a spider. Superpowers. And it's origin. It's origin. It's the moments of discovering. It's maturing. And then it's this opposition that occurs. But there's this backwardness. Why is Jesus fasting? Isn't he righteous? Like, why do you fast? Is Jesus not close to God? Does Jesus have sin to wrestle with that a fast is going to stop him from being addicted to something? Did Jesus have a gluttony issue and he needs to go in the wilderness for 40 days and work it out? Because gluttony is spoken about more densely than any other sin throughout Scripture. I don't think so. But he fasts. And he doesn't fast something that's easy. He fasts something that he would die without: food. I'm unsure of Jesus' medical conditions. I'm unsure of them. But I know that Jesus went into the wilderness, the Judean desert, rocks, sand everywhere, and hung out with the Spirit of God for 40 days. At the end of that 40 days, because his timing is so stupid, the devil thinks the perfect time to tempt Jesus is at the end of the 40-day fast. And I don't know if you've ever fasted, but if you have, you actually know the best time to tempt you isn't at the end of the fast. You're your strongest. You can hear God, some chemicals have drained out of your brain. The best time to tempt you is 10:10 on Sunday morning with an ice block. I'll start after the service. I could finish at the end of the Sunday, so it's still 14. The devil, in his great timing, comes to Jesus at his strongest. And again, 40 days is a reference to Old Testament prophets and experiences that happened and how angels came in his. But this story is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Mark doesn't reference Jesus fasting, but Matthew and Luke do. So we have this moment, and some of them, all of them reference angels appearing at the end of the temptation. So the context is, Jesus is going away to be with God by himself, not because God isn't pleased with him and he's trying to make God pleased. That already happened. Not because he can launch his ministry by 40 days of isolation. It's not going to help with the marketing. It's not going to help with the handouts letting everyone know there's going to be a jumping castle there. Bring your water, you'll leave with wine. He goes to be with God because that's what a son of God does. And it is no more complex than that. It's not that the fast and the prayer twist God's arm into doing what we want him to do. It's because sons and daughters of God have no issue with praying and fasting when no one is watching. After Matthew 4, these verses of the temptation and the devil fleeing, and it's worth noting that Matthew 4 is God, Jesus, having a conversation with the devil. It's just interesting, right? Like some of you think that he hides behind horror movies and creeps in little corners. Jesus is just putting the devil in his place and then moving on. After that, he launches his ministry. Straight away, he's like, where are my disciples at? Let's get some disciples. He does a little bit of miracles. And then we have Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, the best sermon in human history. Second best is Acts 2, where Peter quotes Joel, but he quotes it wrong, so it's still second best. Because to say that these are the end days, we know 2,000 years have passed. So we can argue it out a little bit afterwards if you want to, but I'm Joel, so I can win. I've read it more than you. I have. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 then depict this, what it is to be a follower of Jesus. And then it's like, don't be a disciple of the world. This is what the world does. And then in verse, in chapter 5, 6, and 7, we have these moments of, this is how you give, this is how you pray, and this is how you fast. And the key through all of it is you have to do it in front of people so you get the recognition. No. The key through all of it is hide it. Hide it. The title of today's message is Hide. A kingdom key is knowing what to hide and what not to hide. I want to pray for us this morning, and then we're going to look at some logos. Holy Spirit, you're here. You're not here to engage with us on our terms. You're here to engage with anyone that's willing to live on your terms. So we lay ourselves down. We come to the altar, as Narelle shared this morning, that we would come, no matter what's been going on, that we would come to you this morning, and that we would be humble enough to be willing to be transformed and changed. That today could be a bigger game changer or an equal game changer than any other experience that we have had prior to this. We're expectant to encounter the King of the universe, and we are willing to live on your terms. So would you speak this morning? Would this 14 days of prayer and fasting be a closeness between us and you? May corporately you do amazing things, God. May breakthroughs occur. May miracles happen. But above it all, would your church be close to you? Enough to hear your whisper. Enough to get courage. Enough to move away from the storms and worship the guy in the boat. Enough to move away from the provision and worship the provider. Enough to move away from the healing and worship the healer. Would we just be close? So speak to us this morning, and may things that are hidden be exposed, and may things that we are so eager to show off, may this morning be a day that we're willing to hide them to glorify you. In Jesus' name, a faith-filled church said, amen. Thank you, Nat B. You may now leave. Oh, she's already gone. Hide. Hide is a word that might trigger a lot of things in you. If I was to say right now, hide, everyone, lock the doors. What happens? You're like, someone's here. There's a tickle person outside, they're going to come and tickle us, and that's not appropriate for church, and it's weird, and I want to hide away from them. There's all these different things that trigger when I say hide or hidden to you. One of my favorite things on the first month of Bible college, I did Bible college at Hillsong, and my first month of Bible college is I would walk around, and if I could see any couple, I would say, God told me what you're doing and you need to stop. He didn't, but to watch their face would quickly work out if something was hidden. And I was like, oh, I can see that there. You need to go talk to someone, not me, because I'm a first-year student. It was just what was hidden was quickly being exposed by a guy that was just wanting to mess with people and find out if anyone was at my level to be my friend. Because there were a couple of people that said, God told me what you've been doing. And you need to stop. And I said, let's get lunch. Hidden is many things. And on the screen, we're going to look at five different logos with hidden symbols inside of them. I'm not going to say that Starbucks logo is evil. Don't worry. Okay, first logo appears on the screen. 3, 2, 1, yo, Amazon. The Amazon logo represents that they sell everything from A to... Oh, it's so smart and beautiful. Because they sell everything there. Not eternal salvation. Oh, that's horrible. I apologize. Second logo. Let it look on the screen. Little hidden meanings. This is the Toyota logo. And do you know in the... Gasp in the room. Was there... What? Oh, my gosh. The Toyota logo has every letter in the word Toyota in the logo. Oh my gosh. The T, the O, however else you spell Toyota. The third one on the screen, let it appear, let there be light. Toblerone or Toblerone if you're nasty. In the logo up there is a bear. Do you see the bear? The bear is the symbol of the town where Toblerone, if you're nasty, where this chocolate was created for the very first time. They took the symbol of the town and they hid it in its logo. Number 4. I like this one. This is the Bronx Zoo, and in the legs of the animals is 4 buildings from the skyline of New York. Isn't it beautiful? It's elegant, amazing. And yes, you can be like, there's a video online about the monster logo, and I'm not going to get into all like the hidden I'm not going to be like, if you put Pfizer upside down, it spells 2020. Like, I'm not going to get into any of that. If you're looking for conspiracies, you've come to the wrong person. There's too much truth out there for me to look for hidden truth. Fifth one is this, and the most important. This blew my mind in year eight. In year eight, this is the Roxy logo. And in year eight, in everyone's school, there was one person, if you're my age, that was like, do you know that the Roxy logo is actually the Quicksilver logo, just made into the shape of a heart? And that was me. I was like, this is so cool. Do you know the Roxy logo? And I would just say it again and again and again, and then I'll go play with my trains and order everything in color coordination. Hidden meanings. Hidden stuff. Sometimes looking for hidden meanings in things simply aren't there. I remember one person once left our church because Pastor James didn't smile at them in the courtyard. And afterwards I said to Pastor James, I was like, hey, a person they left because you didn't smile at them. And he said, oh, I didn't see them. So they're there. Pastor James hates me. Oh my gosh, he won't even smile at me. What is he, so judgmental? And he's like, no, I was just walking through the courtyard and I didn't see them. So you look for these things sometimes. Again, another lady left our church because at a baptism family fun day, a little kid, 4 or 5, kicked a ball and it hit her. And she said, this is God telling me to leave the church. And I was like, yeah, maybe actually. Yeah, I think you should find another church. I said, that's, yep. And one day that 45-year-old is going to stand before God and give an account for that woman backsliding. No, not really. But in her head, that's exactly how it works. Hidden things. Hidden. And that word can make you think of a whole bunch of stuff. But one of the key ones when it comes to our faith journey is that we hide our sin. We show our best and we hide the rest. And we live in a world that is... it's made up of us, humans, the mammal of being a human. How we try our very best to show everyone that we're doing really good so that we can produce some envy in them and feel good about ourselves. Maybe you've spouted the first grays and now your mission is to hide the grays. Maybe you put on a little bit of weight over summer and you weren't swimsuit ready and now you're wearing Spanx to church. Maybe there's a blemish and there's a whole industry designed about hiding something, not getting rid of it, hiding it. We do it with everything. There's other things when you think of hide. If someone's coming over, you're like, hide the mess, hide the kids. And you push kids into cupboards and all their clothes. And you're like, what did it look like? We've got it together because chaos is not a fruit of the spirit. And you hide things. You come to church. You know exactly when that chorus is going into that 4-bar instrumental and we're about to sing that bridge. And I'm going to move my hands heavenward and they're all going to know how to worship Jesus. And a scary thing is we're doing a fast together as a church. We're publicly doing something that we're supposed to do hidden. I encourage you, what you're fasting, tell no one. Tell your wife if she sits you down and forces you to. What's done in secret, he sees and he rewards. Is it powerful for us to pray together? Yes. Is it more powerful for us to pray in hidden? Yes. 100%. If you want to be biblical, yes. The prayer that happened this morning, Mark either got up here and stirred your faith and prayed and declared. What is more powerful is, did he pray before he got here when no one saw it? Did you? Because church is not hidden. Your faith, your walk with God should be. And it should be to the point where one day when it's exposed and brought out into the light, you get to keep what you hid. Do you have to sometimes show your giving? Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to give to people without them knowing. When you hand them that thing or you pay for that meal or you sow into that, sometimes it's hard. Should you pray for people? Yeah. Should you, at the end of this service today, if you've got a word for someone, should you pray for them? Yes. But should you pray tonight for them when they don't know you're doing it? Should you carry them in your heart? 100% yes. I don't want to get to heaven and find out that I did all of the things that could be seen, but I never knew him. And I lose everything because it was a show. And when I get to keep what I hid, I had nothing left. My encouragement for you in this prayer and fasting season is to examine the things that you hide. On our screen is a double slide. It is our why and how of this morning. Why it matters is because preparation over presentation is kingdom. We live in a presentation first world. We can describe that as pride. I want to show you everything that's going fantastic. The kingdom is a preparation first world where we keep what we hide. The how is this: hide the right stuff. Prayer, giving, and fasting is a good start. We should hide our good deeds and confess our sins. Every scandal that is going to take place is because something that was hidden should have been confessed. James 4 is a very powerful chapter. It depicts this awesome truth. We all can quote it: draw close to God and he will draw close to you. The verses after: change your laughter and joy to weeping and crying. It's this realization that pride, verses before, that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. If I want to be close to God, my prayer and fasting cannot be an act of pride. That we can even read Matthew 6 that says, this is how you should fast. Make sure you put some oil on your face. Oil that face up. And you come to church next Sunday and you're just oiled. You're like, anointing service had nothing on this amount of oil. And you're just like, oil. Matthew, when it comes to prayer and giving and fasting, is not this little secret code that if you share about what God did through you in an act of generosity, you get nothing in heaven. It's all about your heart. It's about, don't be like the Pharisees who pray like this so they can be seen, so that their righteousness is on display. And wow, isn't our world, and quite honestly, aren't we as Jesus followers too often caught in the trap of hiding our sin and confessing our good works? It's a really difficult thing to share about testimonies of the hidden. Because you can read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and you're like, I will lose them if I talk about them. And you're like, oh my God, so secretive, and don't talk to your friends about Jesus, because then if you're talking about Jesus, then your love for Jesus is unexplained. Do I lose everything then? And how? But that's why Matthew describes in 1, 2, 3, 4, it goes on this story where Jesus is a son before he does the deeds. And let me just suggest or guess this morning that there was something so powerful about Jesus from age 1 to 30 that Matthew, via inspiration from the Holy Spirit, decided to keep hidden for the Father. But Joel, if I don't say how good I'm doing at work, how will I get my pay rise? If my ministry doesn't grow and be seen, then how will I get another opportunity? If my date days aren't on social media, how will everyone know that my marriage is better than theirs? I'm reading a book at the moment about happiness is not, you don't get happiness because everything gets better. Because if we look over the last 100 years, everything has got better. Like, you're sitting in an air-conditioned room today. No, that's online, tricking them. 100 years, like, life has got better. The rights of individuals has increased substantially across the board. And my rights have always been good, so I'm good. Mine are getting better and more at the party, so I'm even happier. Better and better and better, but are we any more happy? And the reason this book suggests is that our happiness isn't on the increase is because not only are our lives getting better as individuals, but everyone's is. And happiness is destroyed not because we don't have what we want, it's because we don't have what others have. And envy, an enemy to the fruits of the Spirit, is in attack against our joy, or a modern word of the same thing, happiness. We can argue all day about happiness is different to joy. We can try. But the thing that attacks that is you wanting to be better than the person next to you, because if you're better, then God will say, this is my son who I am well pleased. But I think he was pleased because he was a son of God that lived a life that was quietly hidden and public when it needed to be. I wonder if your good deeds could be hidden. I wonder if there was more testimonies about what God is doing in your life than you're willing to share. Not that when an opportunity comes, you begin to scrape the bottom of the barrel. A testimony, well, my car lasted another 10 kilometers this week and I used E10. That's a miracle. Like, know that your good deeds would be in worship of Jesus, and when an opportunity would arise, you wouldn't share them so that your good deeds would be seen, but you would share them to glorify him. And you were more eager to confess your sin than you were to share your good deeds. Why? Because church would just be like bubbling if everyone was just honest? No. Why is because when you get to the end, you'll have something left. So husbands, what did you do hidden that if exposed, your life wouldn't end? Teenagers, what are you doing hidden that if exposed, you wouldn't be stepped out of opportunities, you would be given more? Parents, what are you doing in hidden that if exposed, docs or facts wouldn't come? Someone would ask you to speak at a parenting conference. And I had this conversation with this guy last year that I shared about July in church. I had this Zoom with this guy that is out west, 3 hours inland from Tamworth. And I was late to this Zoom because of Tony. I blame Tony. I was catching up with him and I was all late. And I was not focused for the first 60 seconds. And then this guy had been with Jesus. His ministry wasn't humongous. He didn't have all of these fruit or good deeds. He'd just been close to God. And I shared it with the church, but I'll share it again. I talked to a couple of people afterwards and they were like, should he speak at this thing? Should we put him here? And it was like, I use the word and I'll use it here. It was like prostituting something that was holy. It was like, that shepherd is out there. He literally is a shepherd, by the way. He works with sheep. He is out there with God preparing songs of worship. And to take that and put it to be seen, to play a game, is destroying it. It's selling something that is holy. And I remember just being like, no, I'm not giving you the guy's name. I'm like, he needs to stay away. He needs to stay hidden. And there'll be a day and there'll be a moment where he will share on platforms, but the hidden process, the wilderness process for him, unlike Jesus, for him is purifying his story to be more about God. So, a final thought on why I think Jesus fasted. Matthew 4 is going to appear back on the screen, our second earliest slide. I want to read it again for us this morning. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit. Don't fast because a pastor told you to. Feel the Holy Spirit lead you there. Got it? Into the wilderness. Solitude, loneliness is words that we get from the Greek word here, wilderness. It is to be where no one can see you. That isn't in the YouVersion app comment section. It's still seen. I had to download the YouVersion app because I don't like it because it's too social and people from church try and find out what I'm reading in the Bible. Stay away from me. This is me and him. To be tempted by the tempter. And after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, these four words, he then became hungry. My prayer for your fast and prayer, don't just not eat a meal and don't talk to God. Carbs aren't stopping you from hearing the Holy Spirit. I've got to get malnourished enough that Jesus will speak and I'll hear him. No, no, no. It's prayer and fasting and giving, actually, if we want to read the Sermon on the Mount correctly, and doing them all in the hidden place. He then became hungry. My prayer is at the end of your fast that, yes, you would be naturally hungry, but you would also hunger for him more than you did before you went into it. Because drawing close to God is not a thing of your holiness or your righteousness or you being saved a little better. Drawing close to God is for one simple purpose. Closer you are, better you hear. Closer you are, better you hear. Closer you are, more obedient you are. Closer you are, it's easier for him to direct where you walk. It's easier for you to see his light and his hope and what he is saying because you're withdrawn and you've drawn close to him. And I pray that that would cause you to hunger so that when temptation comes and questions the very thing that God told to you, because the end of chapter 4, we have God saying, you are a son, you are a son of God, I am pleased with you. And then the devil says, if you are a son of God, he comes to tempt in the very thing that God has said and done. That you would just be like, you came on the wrong day. The anointing service didn't get me there. Showing my good deeds didn't get me there. If you're a Connect leader, my Connect group growing or doing the studies or submitting our reports or serving on a team or giving a 10% and you do a mathematic equation to make sure you've given enough. That this would be 14 days where you just get okay with hiding the good stuff. And you just hunger for more of it. I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes this morning. We had a prayer request for these 14 days of salvation. I'm going to pray for that this morning. I want to give an opportunity for people to experience the salvation that the worship team led us in this morning. That we praise the one who saved our lives. And if you in this place have perhaps gone through motions before, perhaps you've responded to him, perhaps you've never heard about Jesus, and right now is the first moment where you know that God sent his son to the world to live a life that was holy and set apart, that him, 100% human, 100% God, gave his life sacrificially, died and rose again, and made a way for you to draw close to the God that was already drawing close to you. And if you in this place just feel for the very first time, or you just need this morning for me to just see and pray with you. Again, this is a hidden thing, but this is a moment where we can unite together and someone can stand with you. And if you in this place, before you, just you standing before God, just like, yeah, Joel, could you pray with me this morning that I would be able to live my life in devotion to him? That he would save me and heal me and that I'd start an eternal journey today. And if you've walked away this morning and you've done the motions and you even attended church, you can lead and not walk with God. You can have a credential from a movement of Australian Christian churches and not walk with God. It is very easy to go through what is seen and show your good deeds. But if you're honest, your hidden place, if exposed, would be your undoing. So the first group of people I want to pray for in a second are those that need to get right with Jesus. And the second group of people is this. Those that are willing to make this 14 days an intimate, devoted act of hiding with him. that before you jump on the app to read the devotional, that you would connect with Him. That when you're going to work, that you would pray, not just think in your head about your own thoughts and have this conversation with yourself all the time, but you would engage with the Holy Spirit. That you would hide some things that when exposed, when the light comes in, and when you get to rip off the cover, and when you get to bring it out from under the bed, and when God brings these moments of exposing the hidden things, when David gets to fight Goliath instead of just lions and bears, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego get to prove the faith that they have in Jesus in a furnace, when Peter's out on the water, when the disciples have this moment of Acts 2 and their faith is exposed and the Spirit erupts, when what the world looks at fails, but what God sees in hidden is used to close the mouth of the wise. When Moses leads millions of people out of captivity after a season of not even being able to speak. Man, the scripture, the kingdom is filled with preparation. It's Samson with his last bits of strength, God answering a hidden prayer. If you're in that first group this morning, I just want me to pray with you that you get right with God and that you would continue or start this journey of walking with Him with every single eye closed. If that's you, I just want you to lift your hand where you are so I can pray with you this morning. Awesome. You can put those down. It's two people making a decision to get right with Jesus. We'll praise in a moment the God that saved those lives. Is there anyone else this morning that wants to get right with Him? Thank you, Holy Spirit. This morning, church, would you repeat this prayer after me with these two people that today are saved, today are new, today are rescued from the grip of the enemy, the grip of generations, the grip of what has been spoken over them, the grip of what is seen, and today are sons and daughters of God. Would you repeat this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I praise You because You've saved my life. Today, I repent of everything that holds me back from You. My sin, I confess. And today, I ask that You would help me to understand what has just happened. Today, I am new. The old is gone. I am a new creation. I'll never, ever, ever be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you were encouraged by today's message. If you would like to know more about our church, please go to celebrationchurch.com.au.